Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the early line. This is hour number 2 on a Thursday morning on NFL Draft Day. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here. We've got a lot to preview inside this hour. We'll talk about some of the other options on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the NFL Draft. We'll preview some Major League Baseball and 3 fantastic games, big, big games. Game number 6 is all across the board in the NBA playoffs. But I want to start, Don, with even some headlines around the NFL Draft. And one of the most important involves Deebo Samuel. The reports continue now to say that there's not as much movement on the Deebo Samuel situation as we were hearing. That maybe Deebo Samuel is not going to be moved here on draft day. I think that's an interesting story, Donnie, as you would think if they were going to move Deebo, this would get done today so they could recoup at least a first-round pick for this current draft. What do you make, Donnie, of the recent rumors around Deebo Samuel?
Yeah, not enough smoke today, or apparently for this week here for the Deebo Samuel trade. It really picked up. It's like, hey, Deebo looks like he wants out of town, but also we were told that there might be a deal already in place, but they can't announce it yet because the team that's trading for him might jump ahead. All this nonsense going on. Typically, We would have a lot more smoke today to see where there's going to be 3 to 4 teams in on it. It's just a matter of who sweetens the pot before the draft and it all goes down. This doesn't feel like, Kevin, we're going to get to draft night tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, and all of a sudden we're going to say, hey, there's no movement in the Deebo Samuel market, and then we wait 30 minutes and, oh, yeah, look at this. The Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Giants, the New York Jets made a trade for Deebo Samuel, giving up a 1, a 2, a 3, whatever it's going to be here. We probably would have had a lot more market movement on that, but it's kind of interesting to me because there's still a long way to go in the day and people are still going to inquire. But if he doesn't go tonight, Kevin, on draft night, there's a really good chance that he doesn't get traded at all, which is very interesting because I still can't get over the fact that Deebo Samuel ran for like 8 rushing touchdowns last year. He's like, yeah, you know what? I don't want to do that again. Typically, players that can dominate as many times in as many ways as they can, like Deebo Samuel, continuously yell, coach, I want to return kicks, punts, I want to run the football, and throw me the football because this is what I do. So moving forward, are we actually sure that there's going to be an agreement that says, okay, we're going to pay you more money than any other wide receiver out here, but even though what makes you that dominant wide receiver is so many ways we can use you, even as a decoy to open up the rest of the field, yeah, we're good with that, and we're still going to pay you that elite level talent. That doesn't make any sense to me from a San Francisco 49ers perspective.
And I think, Donnie, it becomes difficult to engage in this conversation with Deebo, where he is going to try to limit what he brings to the table but probably ask for the same amount of money. You could – look, I'm sure people will try and make an argument, Donnie, that Deebo, the receiver only, is as valuable as any receiver in the NFL, right? He was top 5 last year in yards. He is probably only going to get better, more explosive. The fact that he doesn't seem to be reliant on high-level quarterback play to get the job done. And I understand all of those things. But I really – I don't understand the way this is played out. Like, I can't pretend to act like I've got agenting chops, Donnie, but I don't think any agent out there would offer advice of request a trade, let people know that one of the things that makes you so valuable you have no interest in doing. Like, that doesn't make any sense, Donnie. Like, that's not how you go about this. The one thing, though, as well, is if, like,
you're an agent, like, listen, they want to pay you. Let's get the job done, right? That's what an agent says, Donnie, because that's their own money. So Debo, again, is clearly very set in his ways of not wanting to remain with the San Francisco 49ers, but understandably, they know how important he is to their franchise. The radio audience is here on a Thursday morning, NFL Draft Day, Kevin Walsh, Donnie, right side, hour number two. This is the early line you are watching and listening all across the Sports Grid Network, Donnie. The Debo Samuel situation is also super important when we talk about betting the draft. I'll give you an example. Jermaine Johnson is a player heavily linked to the New York Jets. Apparently, the New York Jets love Jermaine Johnson flying up the board. I believe a draft position last I saw, if I'm not mistaken, Donnie, was a 7.5 with some considerable juice to the under that. The thought then is that the Jets might take this guy at number 4 overall. Well, Donnie, if the Jets have to make a trade, now I don't think they'd move the 4th pick, right? But let's say they move the 10th pick, Donnie, and at 4, they take Sauce Gardner. They take Derek Stingley Jr. Well, does anybody else like Jermaine Johnson that much? Maybe the Jets were going to take him, and all of that information is correct, but because they made this Debo Samuel trade, this got messed up, and all of a sudden now, Donnie, Jermaine Johnson's a faller. So this Debo situation, like all these, like any star that could be moved today, Donnie, has a big impact on how the rest of this draft plays out.
No, it does, and we always like to say it only takes one team, right? It only takes one team to really like a guy where they press the lever down and pick him, and if they don't, then this guy might drop 15, 20 picks. You can always bring back up, what, 2006 draft with Alex Smith and also Aaron Rodgers. It only takes one team where the Niners said, yeah, we like this quarterback, and everybody's like, hey, you know what? The only team that was really willing to go round one quarterback was with Alex Smith going number one overall, and then you saw the Green Bay Packers say, whoa, we've got way too much value here to pass up on Aaron Rodgers later in the draft in the mid to late 20s. So you're looking for risers and fallers, and all you can say is if one team likes him, Kevin, that's who they like on their draft board. Typically, it's when the Raiders draft in the top 10, everybody wants to see who the Raiders go with because apparently they don't listen to any draft experts or do their own, you know, research saying, this is the guy we want. Al Davis used to do it all the time where you saw his scouting department say, hey, I know Al Davis is going to like this guy. I'm going to mark him much slower than what the time is to make sure Al doesn't go draft that guy. It only takes one team to mess up an entire draft board for your mock draft.
We're going to reset some of the markets for you here in our upcoming segment. Anything pretty much you could imagine is out there. And a little bit more about what we are hearing. Where are the rumors pointing? Who's moving up? Who's moving down? And are there any players that Donnie likes in this draft class? There's a couple that I like. We'll talk about it all next year on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid on Draft Day. A couple of things I wanted to hit here. The draft coverage, again, we mentioned it a lot of times. We'll keep mentioning it. Will be heavy from Sports Grid. We are out in Las Vegas, so make sure you are tuned into the network all day. I wanted to get you a couple of thoughts from myself and Donnie. And one thing, Donnie, I think we could both agree on, when we talk about the intrigue of markets, involves the quarterbacks. Even if this quarterback class is not all that exciting, it is always interesting to see where these guys will land. When we're, you know, next year lining up NFL futures, right? We're going to be thinking about these quarterbacks and ultimately, can they make a year one impact for their team? And one thing that's continued to catch my eye is that the team that is favored to draft Kenny Pickett is the Saints at plus 200. The team that is favored to draft Malik Willis is the Steelers at plus 125. And Donnie, the Saints have not one, but two draft picks in front of Pittsburgh. Two draft picks. I still kind of am struggling here on the Kenny Pickett over-under, the Malik Willis over-under, the odds to be the first quarterback selected being, you know, pretty strongly in Malik Willis's direction here, Donnie. I don't know. My read on this feels like the Steelers are going to be trading up in a major way to get Malik Willis, and then he will be the first quarterback off the board. Because you look through kind of some of these markets here, Donnie, and what they all imply, and there seems to be some holes there.
There are some holes, and it's kind of interesting the way it pans out, because the Pittsburgh Steelers, typically one of the better drafting organizations in the National Football League, usually let the draft come to them. Say, we're not going to overreach for players. We're going to stay exactly where we are, and there's going to be players that fall to us that we didn't think would be available, and we didn't have to expend extra draft capital in the future to go down and get the player that we actually wanted. So when you look at this, if you say for the Pittsburgh Steelers, what do you actually want out of this draft? Because I think we can all agree they do need a future quarterback. It's not going to be a Mitchell Trubisky or anybody that they have, you know, trying to back them up right now. They are looking for quarterback. But I don't think, Kevin, that they're going to move up and make a move. And the one interesting part is we all link them to Malik Willis as if that was the perfect fit, and that's who the Steelers have on their mind. And then we do know that they've seen Kenny Pickett every single day for a few years because the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pitt Panthers share the exact same practice facility. So we love to believe that maybe it's a smokescreen, like, yeah, sure, we're not going to trade up here. We'll just let Kenny Pickett come to us because we like him the best and we don't think he's actually the first quarterback coming off the board. But even looking at the quarterback market, because I do think the two intriguing markets would be the defensive ends and where they come off the board, but also the quarterback market. Is there going to be a shakeup here, Kevin? Because everywhere we look, it seems like Malik Willis is the prohibitive favorite at minus 200 to be the first quarterback off the board. Then you take a look at the second quarterback off the board is supposed to be Kenny Pickett at a minus 180. The guy I think can throw a wrench into a lot of this is Desmond Ridder here coming out of Cincinnati. We're not hearing enough about this kid. And if you say, well, Donnie, they're not hearing enough because teams probably don't like him. Usually in the NFL, a team that is very interested in a quarterback that's a little bit back and doesn't want to tip anybody off, what do, Kevin? Don't talk to him. Don't bring him in for a draft workout. Back channel the agent saying, we really like this guy. Every time you go to an interview, never mention that you spoke with me or the team involved here. And that's how draft business gets done. So the guy that I think to watch out for here on draft day, night one, to be a first round draft pick that maybe some don't think is going in the first round, Desmond Ridder is that guy for me.
I think that makes a lot of sense. From, you know, kind of some of the stuff that I've seen put out there, Donnie, I think it's reasonable that Desmond Ridder ends up the best quarterback in this class. I really do. And that's why the over-under on quarterbacks has been very interesting to me. It is really, really strong under 3.5. But also, Donnie, there seems to be no interest in posting a 2.5 and allow people to try and go even under that number, right? And that's probably because, Donnie, the book would find themselves. These are conversations we've had with Dave Sharapan before. When we talk about the futures market, but specifically the betting markets, right, when it comes to betting in the drafts. And I think, Donnie, it's because there's this comfortable assumption that Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett will go. And despite, Donnie, 30.5 on a draft position for Desmond Ridder, it seems like he's going to come off of this board as well. It seems like it would maybe be a little bit too risky, Donnie, for a Falcons, a Panthers, whomever else might fit the description, to not try to come up to picks 31, 32 in that range, Donnie, and see if they can secure a quarterback here. It's really, really interesting to me. One spot as well, and you know, because obviously the markets are expansive, the Lions hold the 32nd overall pick, Donnie. Mm-hmm. I think the Lions could very well look at a quarterback at 32. The question is, does Detroit need to go to 29? Or Donnie, and this is why, you know, you try and follow these mock drafts as closely as possible, but is there a world where the Detroit Lions are getting us that fourth quarterback in round number one on a Matt Corral? Because here's the thing, if the Steelers come up to 12, and get Malik Willis. And then all of a sudden, the Saints go, whoa, 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 all right, Kenny Pickett, you're off the board at 15. Well, now we've got two gone pretty early, Donnie. So now Desmond Ridder, all of a sudden, instead of going that, you know, that 28-30 range, well, he's gone in that top 24 range. And all of a sudden, that's when the Matt Corral numbers can get a little bit more interesting here. One other thing, Donnie, that I wanted to kind of just, we look at all the there's so many different markets that you can attack, right? And they're always, in some respect, a little bit connected here. There's also, though, now a parlay builder, and this did not exist last year in the draft, where if you feel pretty confident in some landing spots for some guys, you, Donnie, can try and orchestrate a nice little parlay here. And I almost, Donnie, liken it to our old school player prop parlays from the 3-point line in the NBA postseason. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example right now, Donnie. Derek Stingley Jr., Jermaine Johnson, and Charles Cross, all to be selected in the top 10. All are priced at minus 350 to be selected in the top 10. Donnie, we're seeing Derek Stingley Jr. mocked as high as 3 in this draft. Mm-hmm. Donnie, there are some people that think Charles Cross has an opportunity to maybe be the first tackle, and there's going to be a run on tackles with Cross, Icky, and Evan Neal. It's almost then, Donnie, feels like it's down to a Jermaine Johnson. By the way, this is a plus 112 payout here, Donnie. It's almost down to a Jermaine Johnson. We hear the Jets love him. They own 2 top 10 picks, Donnie. This is kind of a way I think you can also uniquely attack this market. It gives you juice on a number of guys here, and it's a brand new market. You take advantage.
Yeah, and it's also a brand new market that you can take advantage of. But also, let's keep in mind, you're pretty much foolproof in the top 10, right? You're not worried about a team trading. Oh, they're not going to pick them now because these guys are supposed to go in the top 10. And it doesn't matter which team they go to. And teams trading up and trying to get into the top 10, these are the players that they are targeting. So it's when you take a look at that end of it and building from the top down as opposed to the quarterback market where you're saying to yourself, who is going to trade into the first round to try to come up and get it? There's a lot more conjecture there as opposed to, you know, these players are good players. They're going to go regardless of trade in the top 10. But it is a fascinating market to see. And how early do you jump? Because when you see that plus money market, if you wait longer in the day and it's apparent that one of these guys is automatically going higher than what we thought, those numbers are certainly going to change. Mm-hmm. But I love the quarterback market. It's going to be fascinating in the next round here that we're going to talk about here in the upcoming segment. You know, who is going to be trading into the first round? Who is looking to trade out of the first round? Because the teams that I look at, like the Kansas City Chiefs picking 29 and 30th, is very low probability, Kevin. They go back-to-back with draft picks right there when another team is going to be calling them, giving them something pretty sweet, just to trade back a couple spots so another team can slide in there and take a quarterback to get that fifth-year option on said quarterback.
And I want to add this as well, just quickly, right, Donnie? So I'm messing around with this thing even while we're on air. Sauce Gardner, Kayvon Thibodeau, Charles Cross, Derek Stingley Jr. It's a four-leg parlay at plus 100. While I understand, like, Donnie, you know how we usually, parlays can go wrong because a guy has a bad night. Mm-hmm. There's no bad nights, Donnie. It's all information-based here. Plus 100.
Yeah.
I'm interested. We'll close out the NFL draft, dip to some Major League Baseball next year on the radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on the early line, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. We have some breaking news in the NBA. The Athletic Shams Charania giving the update around Chris Middleton, and not one that Bucks fans and backers will want to hear, as he's expected to miss the entire second round series versus the Boston Celtics. And in fact, the recovery of the grade 2 MCL injury that he suffered could very well even put Donnie a conference finals appearance for himself if Milwaukee makes it there in jeopardy. We're not deep into the NBA waters yet. We'll get there. But your quick reaction to Chris Middleton now being out for the length of the Boston Celtics series.
Yeah, that doesn't help, certainly. But if also from a Milwaukee Bucks standpoint here, you've won a series without him. You know he's not going to be back for this series. So you're not saying, oh, if we could just put it together and Chris will come back and help us out. Sometimes it's better to know that he's not going to play than if he is going to play, or a chance that he's going to play. Now, having said that, in the NBA, okay, I love it, Milwaukee. Thank you for this update here, because apparently the Milwaukee Bucks leaked this out and gave it to a couple guys in the press, say, hey, put this out. Where's the Zion information out here? Where's the Kawhi Leonard information out here? Like, why can one organization do it right? And even if you're trying to take a look at the Phoenix Suns with Devin Booker, hey, let's try to be open and transparent here. Here's what we're looking at with this injury. How come some organizations have zero input on injuries and others are straightforward and truthful and tell it like it is, Kevin? Can you give me an answer to that?
Yeah, I think, well, right, every situation, you know, this is circumstantial, but, you know, Kawhi controls all of that. The Pelicans apparently aren't letting Zion play. And the Bucks are like, yeah, we don't have Chris Middleton, and I don't know what you want us to say. I think the more important part, actually, Donnie, I think, is less the Celtics news, which maybe we thought, and more, this guy's not back unless they make the finals, is kind of the read on the situation there for Chris Middleton. And it's a shame because we've talked about the Middleton injury, Donnie, but maybe we haven't emphasized and highlighted it enough because it was a Chicago Bulls series that we really at no point thought the Bucks would be in trouble in. One additional note I'll add here is Giannis, in the three games without Middleton, had 18 in the first game, only played 29 minutes. Then he had 32, and then he had 33. He was actually cashing under tickets on his points props. He didn't need to play all that much. 35 minutes in game number four, 30 minutes only in game number five. I'm very interested to see what these props look like versus the Boston Celtics because you've got a lot of opportunity for Giannis, the anticipation of closer games for the Bucks and the Celtics, but a great defense, obviously, in Boston. Are we hanging 30.5s? Are we hanging 34.5s? What are the numbers looking like for Giannis in that Celtics series is something I'm super, super interested in, and I look forward to when we get there. I want to close at the NFL draft quickly, Donnie, which is kind of an open-ended. Give me something else you're looking for as we head into draft night here. Betting, I don't care if it's about the birds. Just give me something else that you're looking for as we head into the 2022 NFL draft.
Yeah, intrigue at the back end of the draft here. Let's just say it's status quo, and the two teams that we know need quarterbacks or looking for quarterbacks, right, Kevin, would be the Carolina Panthers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And let's just say nobody makes any trades, and we go, oh, my goodness, they actually did take Malik Willis at 6, and the Pittsburgh Steelers just stayed at that 20 spot, and they took Kenny Pickett, which has two quarterbacks here going in the first round, and there's a chance that maybe Desmond Ridder can go or somebody trades up here and gets Matt Corral. We'll see. But the fact of the matter is, after the Steelers, Kevin, at 20, the New England Patriots, the Green Bay Packers, the Arizona Cardinals, Dallas Cowboys, Bills, Titans, Buccaneers, Packers, Chiefs twice, Bengals, and then the Lions at 32. So if we're looking all the way through roughly over the next 10 picks, those teams don't need quarterbacks. Now, the intrigue there would be is if they have grading systems that say, hey, you know what? We're picking, let's just say, the Dallas Cowboys at 24. We have a grade on the next 12 guys who actually aren't first-round draft picks overall. They're second-round grades. Why don't we trade out, get a future one or a future high number two, and let another team come up into this spot and take a quarterback if they want, particularly looking at the Kansas City Chiefs. Same thing. They picked 29th and 30th on the board, as I just talked about here. There's a very low chance that they're going to go back-to-back picks here, and somebody might want to trade up in that spot. Now, we usually don't look and say the most intrigue in the draft might be in the 32nd pick here, which the Detroit Lions have in the trade from Matthew Stafford, and say to yourselves, now, hold on. Is Jared Goff really the future of this franchise? Or can we take a flyer, just like the Baltimore Ravens did, on Lamar Jackson to see how it works out? If it works out in our favor, we have the fifth extra year that we can include in there, as opposed to the second-round draft pick, which you only have 4 years to try to control the quarterback. It's kind of crazy to say, but there's a lot of intrigue at number one, where maybe we don't have as much intrigue as we thought where Trayvon Walker is going to go. But maybe 32 with Detroit holds the cards here if you're going to cash a multiple quarterback first round here.
I think it makes a lot of sense there, Donnie. I'm going to add something a little bit different. It revolves around Jameson Williams. There's a lot of conversation around the wide receivers in this class. A lot of good ones, maybe not a lot of great ones, except Jameson Williams, who was supposed to be great, but suffers the big-time injury as the Bama season is coming to a close. And what seems to be happening is where people are like, man, it's a lot of value on Jameson Williams, man. This guy's fallen. This is incredible. And the value is essentially going to be gone because now everybody thought the same thing. Everybody loves Jameson Williams, and this guy's going to go inside the top 10. I really believe that. Right now, if I'm not mistaken, and I'll pull it up here to double-check once again, it's 11.5 on a draft position for Jameson Williams. It's a minus 172, though, on that number. But the odds to be a top 10 pick for Williams right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, Donnie, is plus 150. I do not think Williams ultimately makes it out of the top 10, whether that's the Atlanta Falcons, the Seattle Seahawks, or even the New York Jets. Somebody is going to make this guy a top 10 pick. It would not surprise me if he's the number one wide receiver off the board. And yes, and though nobody behind the scenes can see Donnie's smirk, the Philadelphia Eagles very, very, very well could trade up into the top 10, and there's been reports around this, to add a Jameson Williams. Super talented. I'm not a doctor. If teams are doing that, though, you would think they feel good about the health recovery there, but it, of course, is a little bit concerning. There's so much to get into with the draft. I promise you, if you tune into Moneyline, myself and Donnie will be live at 1 p.m. Eastern on Sports Grid, ready to break this down. We'll also, though, Donnie, be breaking down a lot of Major League Baseball as it is a full day slate here on a Thursday, which is fantastic for what we do on Moneyline. I want to get some previews in now. I want to start in the Bronx. It's a 1 o'clock start for the Yanks. The Yanks' offense at times, Donnie, when they've had some day baseball games and they've been looking to close series, we've seen some disappointing outputs there. That was not the case when they closed out the Guardians, scoring a ton. They're trying to score a ton here again, DRS, against the Baltimore Orioles. It's Tyone. It's Zimmerman. What are your thoughts?
Hey, by the way, Zimmerman's been really good this year. Left-handed pitcher, 3.27 xFIP on the season. He's handled his business, as I like to say, with both lefties and righties. And quite frankly, usually lefties get out lefties, which is what the game plan typically is. But lefties might struggle a little bit against right-handed batters. That's not the case here. If you take a look at Zimmerman here in 2022, Kevin, 52 batters he's faced from the right side. How about this? A 293 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of a 109. Now, it's cooler temperatures again, once again today in the Bronx, but you still have a strong wind blowing out the right field. Not as much as it was yesterday where it was directly to right, more of a left to right wind, but certainly should help those left-handed batters if you're pulling a ball into that short porch in right field. But if we're taking a look at how they match up, you know, LeMahieu, Judge, and Rizzo anticipated to be the top three in the lineup today for the Yankees. They've done a lot of damage here, Kevin, versus left-handed pitching. Take a look at LeMahieu, 617 weighted on base percentage, Aaron Judge, 452, and Anthony Rizzo, a 386. So those top three guys certainly will be able to do something here if Zimmerman relents on his dominant performance early in the 2022 season. Jameson Taillon on the mound, very good, 3.81 xFIP number, and getting out lefties and righties here. And also, always the key indicator here is, do we think the Yankees can hit? Sure. 5 runs, 6 runs. That should be the case moving forward here once we get to a little bit more warmer temperatures. But the Baltimore Orioles never line up, particularly in this early season, with lefties or righties and say, this is a team that I want to get behind that can score a lot of runs, because there's a lot of bad bats in this lineup today, even matching up against Jameson Taillon, who's a right-handed pitcher.
Yeah, these teams have kind of already, we know they've already met before. These pitchers have met with these teams. Taillon was solid. Zimmerman, 5 innings of work, no runs, 4 hits. It was a Yankees lineup that was hitting a lot differently at the time. Let me bring up Donnie the Phils as they're looking to get this sweep here. Zach Wheeler's on the mound, which is interesting, right? That carries a lot of weight, but it's also not been good to start this season. I see a low total here, Donnie, at 7.5 for some day baseball in Philly. Is this weather-related? Is this Wheeler respect? What's your read on Philly's Rockies here on a Thursday?
Yeah, after a couple games here, the Phillies offense is really opening up and basically covering the totals themselves. Today, you're going to get winds around 15, 16, 17 miles an hour blowing dead in from left field. So not really a hitter's environment that we typically would like to see at Citizens Bank Park. But if you take a look at Senzatella, a 4.68 xFIP number, he doesn't strike out very many batters, Kevin, here. Looks like he's faced roughly 60 batters this year, and he's got an 8% strikeout rate against those guys, and he doesn't have a high walk rate, which means the ball is in play, and that's usually a pretty good thing. If we take a look at Senzatella, he's really been struggling, Kevin, in 2022 against right-handed batters, a 516 weighted on-base percentage and an ISO power number of 269. So if you're looking at righties in the lineup today, anticipated for the Phillies, Segura, Hoskins, Castellanos, Realmuto, Bohm, the rest will be lefties. Now, if we flip it over to the opposite side, boy, you would like to have the Zach Wheeler of 2021 who was in the Cy Young race right up to the very end, but his xFIP number has been high, 5.16. This is also Zach Wheeler that basically told you in the offseason, yeah, it was a lockout. I didn't do very much at all. I just showed up to spring training like, okay, let's get things started here. And that's, you know, pertaining to his slow start. He has struggled a little bit here. Wheeler is a right-handed pitcher from the right-hand side at a 462, but the temperatures in the 40s at first pitch, winds blowing in. Got to do it, Kevin. Got to do it on the under here.
Oh, brother. I'll say this. One of my favorite things is somebody who likes to look at batter pitcher history. It's every time you go to a Rockies game, the opposing pitcher has not enjoyed going up against Charlie Blackmon. Bryce Harper, hot at the dish, hit a prop parlay on a Blackmon-Harper situation there.
Ooh.
Plus 106, not a bad way to start your day. We'll close out baseball, maybe there's some more to get to for the NBA. A lot happening. Keep it here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tons of Major League Baseball will be coming up. Let me say this. You got to make sure you tune in to Moneyline from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Myself and Donnie, we follow the live board. We'll preview more of these games, but I want to give the NBA an appropriate amount of time here. I know it's draft day. I know the baseball board is big. Listen now, this NBA card is fantastic. Three game sixes, 1.5, 2.5, and a 1. Those are your lines here, Donnie. We start in Toronto. Sixers lay 1.5 to the Toronto Raptors. As some people affectionately know them, the Toronto Raptors. This is a spot, the Sixers, Donnie. I said this yesterday. Somehow, if the Raptors lose, their season is over, and it feels like the Sixers need the game more than the Raptors. This is tense. I got my thoughts, but I want yours, Sixers fan. You know this team well, Donnie. How do we feel going into game number 6?
Well, but let's also preface this by saying it's pretty crazy where we entered in this series going, hey, Fred VanVleet's a really good basketball player, and he's going to be the key to the Toronto Raptors, too. Oh, Fred VanVleet's hurt? Yeah, he was holding his team back here, man. It's such a better team without Fred VanVleet. Are you kidding me here with this nonsense? But having said that, the Philadelphia 76ers sleepwalking through games 4 and 5 is quite concerning here because it's apparent. Look, Joel Embiid has 2 good knees and a good back here. He can run up and down the court, and maybe that thumb is going to bother him here, but that's no excuse. The Philadelphia Phillies, talent for talent here, are a much better team than the Toronto Raptors. They showed that in the first 3 games and then basically said, well, this series is over. Most teams are just supposed to roll over in games 4 and 5 and just let us have this, and then we'll move on to the next round, which hasn't been the case. And credit Nick Nurse for getting his Toronto team to believe that they can still make this a series, and they have with game 6. But if I look at that price here, opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a -1.5 and has climbed to 2 points here, we'll see where this game actually winds up. But I'm hard-pressed to believe that Toronto would flip to a favorite. We're all looking forward to James Harden finally stepping up and saying, hey, your 22 points and 11 assists aren't good enough. Why don't you take control of this game and drop 30 on this opponent and put it away yourself and not have to rely on Joel Embiid? That's the way I'm looking at it for this game. But also, when you take a look at a 210 price here, it just feels to me, again, another under situation. Last time these two teams took the court, Kevin, I took the under 211.5, figuring the Sixers would win and close them out. But that score was the reverse of what I thought it would be. Stayed easily under the total with a Toronto Raptors win in Philadelphia. I think the Sixers win this game, Kevin. But I also think this game stays under the total of 210.5 as well.
I think that makes sense. Look, I also think the Sixers win. I really do. But I got to tell you, man, if they lose this game, it does not feel like you can sell me on, don't worry, game 7's in our building. There won't be a shred of momentum on their side. Yesterday, Doc Rivers essentially called one of his old Orlando Magic teams horrific, blamed a Chris Paul blown 3-1 lead on injury. Then he said, we were in the bubble. Anything could have happened. Like, I mean, golly, like this guy just throwing excuses out left and right. But it's fine. It's fine, Doc. I'm sure you'll figure out what happens if you blow a 3-0 lead here and become the first to do that in NBA history. I do think the Sixers get the job done, though, ultimately. And a couple of ways I think that happens. One, I think Joel Embiid's really good tonight. I do. 27.5 is the number. Embiid's got to be good. He's got to be great, in fact. And he's got to get over that number. The other guy who's not even really picking up the slack here with the FVV absence is Pascal. 2 straight wins, 34-8-5, 23-10-7, 39.5 for points, rebounds, and assists on Pascal Siakam. I think lines up. Game 6, stars need to be out in full effect. I think they will be. Let's go Suns-Pels. 2.5 here for Phoenix. 213.5. I don't think the series is over. I got to tell you, though, Don, to add in the Devin Booker thing, Phoenix really, really, really needs to make sure they win this game because Devin Booker is going to Anthony Davis himself run back out there on that floor in game number 7 and might do irreparable damage as it pertains to the rest of this Suns series. You cannot put Booker in a spot where he is desperately begging to be on the court in game number 7. Now, that does not mean, though, that they're going to win this basketball game because of that. I think the Pelicans win. I think the New Orleans Pelicans have enough juice here. This series has been close. I know the last game was decided by 15. I maintain it was a much closer game than that final score indicated. And I'll add this as well, Donnie. I am surprised at the Brandon Ingram number of 25.5. A lot of times, Donnie, we've seen plenty of stars go under, and the book says, oh, all right, everybody's going to come back. It's a bounce-back spot, and they'll juice it up a little bit, or at least leave it the same. They've dropped this a point. I disagree with their drop. I think you go over BI, Donnie. I think the Pelicans force a game seven.
Yeah, and I do think also that I'm going over the Chris Paul number as well. Backed off it last game. He ended up with 22 points. If you remember, his points prop total at home there was 20.5. So he barely got over it, but he did. 22 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds here. So obviously, points, rebounds, assists will be on the market. But the one thing I did like to see out of Chris Paul is the reason why I didn't jump on him last time, Kevin, is because usage rate, right? He goes 18 shots down to 8 shots, and maybe there was something to believe that his wrist or his hand was injured, but he bounced right back there and took 18 field goal attempts in the last game. So I'm led to believe that he is going to be healthy. Now, if we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's kind of interesting the way some of these guys are priced here for the Phoenix Suns. Talking about Chris Paul, 19.5, keeping you under that. You know, 20.5, like, oh, he's got to get over 20 points, see what he does. He barely got over that. But now they give you that little tease and going, okay, now he just needs to get to 20 points tonight and sort of you will have your way with that points total. Now, granted, looking at the total in this game, and also looking at a slight favorite here for the Phoenix Suns, I actually think the Phoenix Suns do win this basketball game. In no way, shape, or form can Chris Paul go out there and have 14 points and 8 assists, and they win this. So then you're taking a look at also DeAndre Ayton, 19.5 points, keeping both of these star guys onto the 20-point number. The guy that always comes up here for me, and I see an interesting number with Devin Booker out, which means there's a lot more shots to go around. You know who's really underperforming in the series? Jay Crowder should have that easy. Sit behind the three-point line. I got extra shots here. Some of these will go down. He's lined at a 9.5 price point tonight, which is ridiculous. That's 3 threes and a free throw, and you have that knocked down. And I don't want to go anywhere near Jay Crowder. So I'm going to stick to the old guns here. And even if you take a look at the opposite side of the New Orleans Pelicans, Jonas Valanciunas, prop again for rebounds, 12.5. The guy's a machine. He's going to get that 12.5 again, just like he did in his previous outing. I like the Valanciunas props on rebounds, and I do think Chris Paul's usage rate will be there once again, taking close to 20 shots. Therefore, Kevin, he should get around 20 points in this game or more to cash that ticket in.
Not bad. I'll bring up a CJ McCollum number here, Donnie. So this is kind of one that gives you an idea of how a series can dictate your props. CJ McCollum on the regular season averaged 4.3 rebounds per game. So if I were to tell you, Donnie, that it's a rebound prop for a guy at 5.5 who averaged almost, you know, just over 4, you might think, oh, that sounds a little inflated. In this series, 8 boards, 4, 9, 8. He's averaging 7.5 rebounds a game in this series, Donnie. We're 5 games deep. And in fact, Donnie, he's averaging 5.6 assists right now. A rebounds plus assist prop is 10.5. I think you reasonably can get over that. He's gone over that in all but one. He's gone over his rebounds in all but one. He's now missed the assists by two games in a row, but both of them are plus money. So you can legitimately have a CJ McCollum night, Donnie. Take his rebound over, his assist over, and his rebounds plus assist over. See if you can clean the board there on McCollum. We get to the late one. It's Utah and it's Dallas. Jazz, Donnie, a 1-point home pooch. Now, you liked Utah last time. I'm not calling you out for it. I bring it up because most times, Donnie, don't say you didn't. Most times, Donnie, people go to the well on the Utah Jazz. You did. Most time they go to the well on the Utah Jazz, they get burned and they go, never again. They're fraudulent. I can't stand this team. But, Donnie, there's something about you that tells me you think the Utah Jazz force a game number 7. Am I right?
I don't know about this. I mean, I'll tell you tomorrow. Look, I'll tell you tomorrow morning whether or not I thought the Utah Jazz would be able to push a game 7 in this environment. But the number is scary, man. Here. If you're looking, Kevin, for a last-ditch effort for a Utah Jazz team, does this give you a lot of say when you look at this line here that's roughly a pick 'em? This is a stone-cold Dallas Mavericks line to close this series out, and rightfully so. What has Utah shown us anything than coming up small in the biggest moments here? Man. And that line tells the tale of what's going to happen in this game tonight. But check back with me tomorrow. I'll let you know exactly how this series plays out.
No, I like, confidence meters. I told Dynasty the other day, I had someone tell me, I asked for a confidence meter. Say, I'll let you know when it happens. I don't know. Well, I don't need that at that point. I'll have had the same information as you. Here's my thing. The Donovan Mitchell props are out and about. 25.5 for the points, Donnie. That does not say injured at all. That says I'm fine. Yeah. I'm good to go. I'm Donovan Mitchell. I don't know, man. Do we trust that? Like, Donnie, his threes is 2.5. If the hamstring's not feeling good, shouldn't he just be behind the arc? is just absolutely hucking these things up here. Gosh, is his Donnie, this guy is shooting 19% from deep in this series, man. I mean, he's shooting 8 a game, and he's not even averaging 2 makes per game. Like, it is a tough scene out here for Donovan Mitchell, DRS. Where are you landing right now on Mitchell props going into this spot?
Yep, when I was a young DRS, Kevin, there's 2 things I learned at a young age that my parents told me. Don't take candy from strangers, and don't mess around with athletes and their hamstring injuries. Come on. I don't care if the MRI came back. If that injury is just, cramped up a little bit, tightened up on me, he's going to be running around there on one leg by the second quarter tonight. So if we're led to believe that Donovan Mitchell is fine because he had to leave the game for a hamstring injury, but he's somehow going to appear on the court as if nothing happened here, ask Devin Booker about his little hamstring injury, and he's still out at this point in time. Ask any NFL player, hey, fourth quarter, I had to leave the game. I'll be good. Yeah, you just missed a month. Because you can't accelerate here. Donovan Mitchell is not a big man, Kevin, that you can just stay in the low block here and just shoot hook shots over an opposing center. You need to be quick. You need to be agile. You need to be explosive. That's not going to happen. Give me unders tonight on Donovan Mitchell.
Now, explain to me how the life lessons taught to you at a young age, yeah. Little right side,
yeah.
Where, hey, listen, look both ways when you cross. Don't trust a stranger. And when you get into the gambling space, if you see a guy with a banged up hammy, you don't trust him. Now, that's some A-plus parenting action. Now that I think about it, Don, that's a good job out of the older right sides.
Parents
there, you love
runners.
To see that.
Yeah, they were. They saw the future of the hamstring and said DRS. And yes, as a wide receiver, I experienced hamstring injuries that were damaging. So when I look at these pro athletes, I just tightened up a little bit on me. I'm like, that's 2 weeks, pal. Congratulations.
Now, Donnie, were you the one, you drop a ball, Donnie, and then you pull up lame on the hamstring, be like, God, it had nothing to do with the hands. It was all about the hammy, Donnie.
Yeah, look,
is that what happened?
Here's what you do, too. You run deep there. And quite frankly, I did snap my hamstring my senior year of football in college. And I was open on the route and couldn't make the catch because I couldn't catch up to it because a rubber band popped in my leg. But if you are a wide receiver or you are an athlete here, the easiest thing to do when something didn't go your way, you go down and you just give one of these to the sideline right here. Like somebody come out here, that's let you know like something went wrong right there and it wasn't my fault. It's just little slight. It's not like, hey, this. It's just one of these right here. That's all.
The other thing you got to do, Don, is in the NBA, these guys, they miss the free throws and they stare at their hands. They try and wipe them down. Everyone starts going like this off the jersey. You know what I mean? Look, I'll tell you.
Let me get the basketball back and rub it. Sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, they did the other day, Donnie. Durant, rubbed the basketball. And then I think, Marcus Smart took the basketball back and unrubbed it.
Yes.
And then Grant Williams did it. Madness. I'll tell you this with this spot here. I think the game does go over the 209.5. If Dallas heats up, Utah heats up, low number, I think we do get points in Mavs Jazz. They shot 3 for 30 last game from 3. Like, the entire team is due. I think this game goes over the 209.5. That's almost the entirety of the early line. Before you go, you got to listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for a Thursday, a draft Thursday here on the Sports Grid Network for the early line. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wall setting the table on an action-packed day here on the grid live from Las Vegas. Not going to want to miss any bits of our content because why? The NFL draft is in Las Vegas, and we are there. And also, will we get draft night drama tonight? Listen up. Woo! Draft night drama here at its finest. Will somebody be on camera doing something they shouldn't be doing, which will drop their draft position only to turn into an NFT years later, making them money? We get it all on draft night here. We get smoke screens throughout the day. Who's going to be the number one draft pick? Who's going to slip down? And who is going to have a camera on themselves in the green room, picking up the telephone where their agent or their mother is calling just to see how they're doing because millions of dollars per draft slot are falling from the sky for said players. Now, I like the draft. I like to tune in. Why? Because I'm a football fan and particularly a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Two first-round draft picks for the Philadelphia Eagles usually is a lot. There are multiple teams tonight with multiple draft picks in the first round, and we'll see how it plays out. Number one overall to the Jacksonville Jaguar, sources say it's already been settled with Trayvon Walker here being the number one overall pick that you're getting north of a minus 400 price currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But the draft really starts for me with the quarterbacks and where they're going to go. Typically, quarterbacks run the draft in the NFL, but not this year. It looks like we possibly could get only two here in the first round with Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis. But I want to see the back half of this draft and the maneuvers that some of these teams make to either A, trade up into the process to get a quarterback, or trade out to stack draft picks for a future run of a quarterback in the next couple years. The NFL draft is here, a monster NBA card tonight as well. So we got you covered here on the Sports Grid Network, but you guys want to hold on here and follow up, because Ben Stevens is going to carry the show here on The Morning After over the next 2 hours. That'll do it for the early line. For Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, we will see you bright and early tomorrow.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.